You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans. Welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 444. It is after the first early signing period in college football. We're recording this December 20, Wednesday in the evening. And there are a lot of good news, I guess, to go along, but there was some breaking bad news. No Breaking Bad reference intended. That just came out a few hours ago. Kevin Stefferson, CJ Holmes, suspended from the football team indefinitely. And you would think, well, maybe it's for grades was one of the things that was tossed out there. Maybe it's for smoking pot, you know, like we heard, what was the case a couple summers ago? Or, I guess it would have been last year. But no, it was for shoplifting. There's an article over on WNDU, and if you just Google Stefferson Holmes suspended from Notre Dame football, you'll probably find it. But they were caught trying to walk out of Macy's with $59 pair of sweatpants and $79 North Face coat.
And what's so annoying about this, do you realize how many sweatpants and Under Armour coats and stuff that they get from Notre Dame? Like, teams, like, seriously. It's one thing that they wouldn't have. I mean, no, they should never be stealing anything. It's not.
It's never okay to steal, but make it worthwhile. Steal a car. It's just dumb. It's frustrating.
Hey, it just goes to show that, I mean, I guess it proves Brian Kelly's point on, you know, Stefferson being held out earlier this year. We still don't know exactly what that was for, but he kept talking about him having all the traits, and he said, you know, you go back and read some of the stuff that he said. Brian Kelly said he has all the athletic ability and stuff, and it's
he does
not that.
Coming back next year, he would have easily have been my pick for the most productive wide receiver for next year.
Yeah.
We saw what he did when he came back. He's extremely gifted and just natural as a receiver. I'm so frustrated.
Obviously, his athletic abilities are much higher than his brain capacity. I just, why are you that stupid?
I know they're kids.
No, they're not.
But
they're,
that's retarded.
He's
is 19, it a retarded kid?
20.
I don't know.
I never stole anything. I know little kids do sometimes. I mean, it's just mind-numbing. They don't realize what they have in front of them. Everything's been handed to them. They've been stars in high school, and they come in as big-time recruits going to Notre Dame, and they're just used to, I don't know. I guess it could have been crab legs. But it's just frustrating when they're doing stuff like this. And I guess they're holding up the tradition of having somebody suspended before the bowl game. So the good news is LSU is also without a bunch of players. Not sure what all the reasons are, but they are also down a couple starters. So, yeah, anyways.
One thing that was funny is that what was the website, Randall, that with the notification that said that Chase Claypool was suspended?
It was actually Bleacher Report.
Bleacher Report, yeah.
Chase Claypool tweeted it out, and he had a screenshot from his phone, or the home screen, and
there was a notification from Bleacher Report.
Said Notre Dame wide receiver suspended. Notre Dame suspends wide receivers Chase Claypool and Kevin Stefferson indefinitely. And Chase Claypool just tweeted out the picture and said, if you're going to post something that would hurt someone's reputation, please make sure it's factual. I'm not suspended. See you all in Florida. But he is out with a shoulder injury.
Yeah. There's not really good news to report with this either. I mean, he is out as well. Brian Kelly,
luckily, it's not too major. Supposedly, he could have maybe done something in the bowl game, but he did have surgery on the shoulder now.
My opinion is that if this would have been a playoff game, that he would have played. But it's a bowl game that just get the surgery rather than pushing it off until and hurting what your development this winter in winter conditioning and setting you back there or pretend, yeah, not, you just have more time to get healthy for the fall and to not miss any football games then.
And at that point, they didn't expect Kevin Stefferson to be stealing some sweatpants.
I don't think that would have made a difference, but.
Well, no, I'm just saying. Brock Wright is also out for the bowl game. He had a shoulder. He had a pretty severe shoulder injury, separated his AC, and has surgery. And he's questionable for spring. So he's
out for a while.
And Chase
has also happened in practice.
Yeah, Chase is expected back for spring ball.
Yeah,
Brock Wright could be questionable.
All right, the reason we didn't have a podcast Monday is because, obviously, early signing period happened today. Notre Dame did sign all their commits, 20 in total.
And that is out of the top 10 recruiting classes, top 10 recruiting classes in 24/7. Notre Dame is the only school to sign all of their commits. But they still have tomorrow. The signing period does go through tomorrow. So maybe somebody else will sign all the players, but at this point, Notre Dame is the only school with the top 10 recruiting class that has signed all its players or all its commitments. They are still waiting. Brian Kelly even mentioned that in the next, he even said 48 hours, they could get another commitment, and I'm pretty sure he was referring to Braden Lindsey. And Braden Lindsey is planning to commit or announce his commitment on Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern time.
So would that put him out of the early signing period?
Well, it goes through Friday, actually. I'm thinking today is Thursday. It's Wednesday. It goes through Friday, so I'm actually not quite sure.
But Brian Kelly has been very adamant that if you say you're committed, you're signing in December and not waiting till February.
Yeah.
He kept
referring to that quite a bit.
I think it's great.
I agree.
There's no reason. Then don't be committed. If it's such a soft commitment, then don't pretend it's a commitment.
Yeah. And I think this helps teams like Notre Dame, some of the other school at this early commitment. But there were teams that played a bowl game last night and are trying to sign players today. That would be pretty hectic. But I guess if you're in a good, decent bowl game, you won't have that issue.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I look at it. Don't be playing in the toilet bowl and you won't have this problem.
In my opinion, every bowl is a toilet bowl unless it's the playoff, but that's just my opinion.
Some of them are good. Some will be good games. But Brian Kelly obviously kept talking about putting the committed backing commitment with the early signing, that they wanted these guys to know that they were going to go to Notre Dame. And then Brian Polian also had a chance to talk with the media, and he even mentioned how Brian Kelly has been way more involved in this recruiting class. And I think it's obvious. I mean, you see way more pictures from recruits of Brian Kelly at their houses and spending time with them, and it seems like he's way more involved with recruits. There's always kind of a knock against Brian Kelly. It seemed like when he was needed for a big-name guy, they brought him in or they did something like that. It was just basically a last-ditch effort to land a guy, and that hasn't been the case this cycle. And Brian Kelly, I mean, I think it's made a difference. They have a really good class, and the guys they have stayed committed, or signed early. There were a couple decommitments. Marquise Stepp was one, which that was to grades.
And that was probably a grades thing.
And he signed with USC today, which is kind of interesting. That means Notre Dame will face him. But it's fun to watch the tweets between him and the Notre Dame players. They're all great about it.
Which was not the case with Braden Lindsey. But I think it depends too. I mean, it was grades. It was out of his. I mean, it was pretty much out of Stepp's control.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, he could have maybe studied harder and got better grades, but not everyone is able to do that.
Yeah. Just today, when Notre Dame tweeted out about Jameer Smith being having signed, Marquise Stepp said, "Hey, congrats, and we'll have some great battles in the near future." And some of the other players, I mean, they're kind of back and forth, "Hey, we'll see each other on the field every year." So that'll be a fun matchup to watch in the next 4 years with Stepp being at USC. But anyways, this class, there's 7 early enrollees, which is great. It seems it keeps going up. They sign more and more guys that will be early enrollees. And I think that's huge.
And out of that, a handful are linebackers. I think there's 3.
Yeah.
3 linebackers, tight end, cornerback, and a running back, and a wide receiver.
Yeah, so yeah, I always love to see that.
I wish Dracovic would have been able to enroll early. And let's start with that. Start with the quarterback commitment. Phil Dracovic, everyone's favorite quarterback at Notre Dame, and he is
the backup.
And he hasn't even we're assuming he's the number 2. I mean, he still has to beat out Ian Book and Avery Davis. But I do just want to read you off.
I don't think some high school. I think he's going to be going to redshirt this next year. He will not be the backup quarterback.
Right, I'm going to read you off some numbers, and you tell me, is this Brandon Wimbush or is this Phil Dracovic? These are high school stats for the senior season. Passing yards per game. One quarterback had 248 passing yards per game. The other one had 223. So who had more passing yards per game, Phil Dracovic or Brandon Wimbush?
Dracovic.
You're right. Dracovic had almost 250 passing yards per game. Impressive. Brandon Wimbush had 223. And that's shows, you know, that's a very good number to have. Now, what about percentage, completion percentage? And this isn't necessarily the better quarterback always has better passing percentage, but you know, these are just some comparisons we can do. So the one quarterback has 76 completion percentage. The other quarterback has almost 72.8. We'll go with 73. So the one's at 73, one's at 76. Very close. Both are very high. Who do you think had the higher completion percentage?
Dracovic.
Brandon Wimbush did.
Oh, who was it? I thought it was the other way. I had seen that one, and I thought it was the other way around.
And then let's go, especially with a big thing is yards per catch, because if you're just dinking and dunking, you're going to have a higher percentage. The one quarterback had 12. Sorry. I need to find it here. Oh, you know, that's one I need to figure myself. That one I don't have handy.
Well, Brian Kelly did mention that he wants him to come in and compete with Brandon Wimbush right away. He said he's not going to recruit a quarterback that isn't going to come in and has, you know, compete. And he claimed, you know, Brandon Wimbush would be excited to have that competition, which he might to a certain point. But he wants him to come in and challenge Brandon Wimbush, which I think you want every one of them to come in and challenge your quarterback. He is a highly ranked guy. I mean, he's a 4-star, and he could be ranked higher because he didn't really go to a lot of camps. A lot of quarterbacks do. The highly ranked quarterbacks do. And so, there, you know, who knows where Phil Dracovic could be ranked if he would have gone to a lot of these camps like other guys did. But he didn't. And one thing that Brian Kelly talked about was how they went to see him his sophomore year because he was leading his team as a sophomore. I mean, he was a leader in the huddle. He was the commander on the field. And so they had to go see it in person. And it wasn't like he was held back either. Like Jimmy Clausen was held back for a year, so he was older as a quarterback.
Held back, I mean, designed. It was, yeah. It was by design. Oh,
definitely.
I do have those numbers for okay. Now. Okay. Yards per completion. The one quarterback had 16.3. The other one had 17.3. Who had higher yards per completion?
Wimbush.
Brandon Wimbush did. So it's not like he's dinking and dunking. He's taking shots downfield. Touchdowns per game. One had 2.4. One had 2.8. Who had the higher one?
Wimbush.
Brandon Wimbush. These are passing, by the way. Interceptions. Now, Brandon, the reason I'm giving per game numbers instead of totals is because Brandon Wimbush only played 8 games as a senior, and Phil Dracovic has played 16. So If we would prorate,
oh, Ruben.
If we would prorate this, the one quarterback had 6 interceptions, the other quarterback had 2. Who do you think had fewer interceptions?
Wimbush.
Brandon Wimbush. The one quarterback had a rating of 154.2. The other one had 143.7. Wimbush had a higher quarterback rating. Now, I'm not down on Phil Jakovic. I think he's going to be. I think he's going to be a starter.
I totally agree with
and
you.
I think he's going to be a really good quarterback at Notre Dame. But we just don't know until they actually start playing. And I don't think Phil Jakovic is going to swoop in and win the starting job right off the bat.
Save the day.
It's not going to happen.
Well, at this point, because Brandon Wimbush didn't have the passing yards his first year, at the end of both these guys' careers, you could maybe say that Phil is going to have better numbers just because Brandon, right now I'm saying that. Mm-hmm. It could all change. It obviously changed for Brandon Wimbush. He came in as the big guy. He was all the talk last summer and
I'm not done.
Maybe we should say this for different podcasts.
I'm not done, Randall.
We're trying to hype up Dracovic.
I'm not done. Let's look at rushing numbers. One quarterback had 6. Let's go with yards per game. One quarterback had 43 yards per game. The other quarterback had 75, almost 76 yards per game. Who do you think had more rushing yards per game?
Wimbush.
No, Phil Dracovic did.
Oh. That's the one that you think.
And let's go to touchdowns. I need to prorate this. The one quarterback had 24 rushing touchdowns. The other one had 12 rushing touchdowns.
Dracovic
had more rushing touchdowns. So this Brandon Wimbush was more of a passer than a rusher in comparison to Dracovic, who is effective, extremely effective as a passer, but also was more effective as a runner than what Wimbush was as a high school player.
The one difference I will say for Phil Dracovic, played better competition. He played nationally ranked teams and was beating them.
And it's 16-0 this year.
Just to kind of, I totally agree with you saying the next guy in, Everett Golson almost set the record for passing yards in the country for a high school quarterback. Wimbush almost set the record for completion percentage for a quarterback. And we saw what he did. You just don't know until you see it on the field. And this excitement is that Dracovic's going to come in. My prediction is he's going to redshirt next year.
I agree with you. I think too he's going to redshirt. I think there's too much competition from Ian Book and Avery Davis.
There's no talk about Avery Davis.
I don't think they're the future, but I think they're very adequate as far as backups are concerned.
Yeah.
I love the line from the recruiting coordinator,
Brian Polian.
From Polian, twice he said that.
At the beginning, don't put too much on these guys.
Well,
he gave
a quote. What was it? Something about the recruiting period. Oh, what did he say? Now I'm spacing on what he said. He had a great line about it being the it was a great line. It's upsetting that I can't remember it now. I thought I could just recall it from memory, but I can't. But basically, the recruiting period is when everything is right in the world, and it's sunshine and flower petals and butterflies singing Kumbaya.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I think Phil Dracovic is going to be a very good quarterback at Notre Dame.
I agree.
I think he is going to be very impressive. I just don't think it's next year.
I love his size, too. 6'5".
215. And he, Brian Kelly will definitely like this. He did mention it, but he can control the line of scrimmage. I mean, he runs the offense. He can make changes. He knows what's going on. He's a smart player, and he's in control out there. And that's big for quarterbacks. That's what you need. And he also played basketball in high school, and I had met him when he was still, would have been 2 years ago, still scrawny. The basketball coach did not let him work out during basketball season or lift during basketball season, and so he couldn't bulk up for that. But he's a great guy, and I think he's going to be a good player at Notre Dame down the road.
And I guess we'll be able to see him in the U.S. Army All-American Bowl.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what his ranking is after the bowl game, like the late when they come out with the last ranking and star rating. Then you have running back. They only have one running back, Jameer Smith. They have been, you know, obviously Marquis Step is no longer with the class, but Jameer Smith, 6'2", 205. He's a 3-star recruit. He is an early enrollee. Brian Polian is a big fan of him. He's one of the first players he mentioned and said he's a north-south runner. I like to hear that. And Brian Kelly sent his tweet today, Murr is a blur with the football. So, yeah, I think it's a good addition to this class. Notre Dame doesn't need to take two in this cycle because of the depth that they have. That might have changed a little bit with C.J. Holmes. I don't know what's going to happen there, because he was already unhappy about not playing more this first year. Now if he's suspended.
And I did think Brian Kelly's
comments.
He's
a good candidate to transfer.
Brian Kelly's comments were funny, because he said that running backs, like, they'll always tell him that you have a chance to play. I mean, if you beat out the competition. I just found it kind of funny.
I totally agree. It's good to hear him say that. He said a good running back will not redshirt. He never tells a running back coming that he's going to redshirt. And I think he's right with that.
I agree.
A good running back is not. If you have a guy that's there for a fifth year as a running back, he shouldn't be on the roster anymore.
And, I mean, CG got a couple of carries, but he was banged up a little bit too. But the reason he got a couple of carries was because Tony Jones Jr. and Dexter Williams were banged up so much.
Yeah. And this is a bigger back, and maybe he does look a little more like an Alabama or SEC running back. His hair look more like an Alabama running back, but we'll see if that has the Samson effect.
That might not be that way when, I don't know.
Yeah.
Notre
Dame did sign two offensive linemen. Cole Mabry is the first one, 3-star from Tennessee, 6'6", 275. So a big guy, tall guy. It's got the length. And then they also signed John Dirksen is an offensive tackle. Both these guys are listed as offensive tackle. With John Dirksen, Brian Kelly mentioned that he's a country kid with a farmyard frame. And it's hard. He's also a 3-star, but especially with him, both these guys aren't very vocal guys, social media and so forth. But Dirksen hasn't been to any camps. He doesn't do any social media, and he doesn't talk with reporters either. So it's been hard to rank this guy. Obviously, you can go see him play too, but still, it's a little hard to know what you're getting with this guy. Some people said he could be kind of a dark horse recruit here. Chip Long described him as nasty. So, yeah, Brian Kelly mentioned that Harry Hiestand's excited to have these guys there. So not the highly ranked guys that, you know, we see sometimes, but Notre Dame's been doing pretty good on the offensive line, especially since they just won the Joe Moore Award. Harry Hiestand, they've had the best line in the country this year, so we'll see if they can keep that going.
It's going to be fun to hear all the complaints from Notre Dame fans when the offensive line is going to be noticeably worse next year. and people were complaining this year.
Yeah. Then they also signed two tight ends. It seemed kind of crazy that they would sign more than one.
Well, it's a good thing they did last year, because imagine if they only would have had one last year, because Nick Wisher is coming back, but it was a decision to come back. It wasn't a no-brainer. And Alize Mack, as far as I know, he's coming back, but there's a little bit of uncertainty around that, I think. And then, so thankfully, you have two freshmen from last year. So good. I'm glad they signed.
Well, one of those is out with a shoulder injury. And now who knows how long it's actually going to take them to recover.
So it's a good thing that Notre Dame was able to sign two tight ends.
They know what they're doing when they sign. I remember people saying that Notre Dame is never going to take more than one tight end this year, but they did it. George Takacs, 6'7", 242 pounds. He is an early enrollee, and he's from Naples, Florida. So hopefully he's used to the snow, which he'll have some time to adjust before next season. He'll be here in January. And then also Tommy Tremble, which he just committed this last week. 6'4", 225 from Georgia, Norcross, Georgia. And he didn't play much this year. He was hurt early in the year and didn't play much. And he's a guy that could maybe be more of a detached tight end, maybe a little more like Alizé Mack is. But both these guys can block. So good addition to the Notre Dame class. Takkus is a 4-star recruit and Tremble's a 3-star. But some of Tremble's 3-star could be because of his injury this year. I mean, he didn't play much his senior year. So if you're into the star ranking, that's part of the reason. Then the wide receivers, Kevin Austin, 6'3", 198 from Pompano Beach, Florida. And some people are claiming that this could be the best wide receiver that Brian Kelly has signed. He's up there with Michael Floyd. Brian Kelly mentioned that he can play all three positions, the X, Y, and the W. And, yeah, they wanted somebody that was versatile, that could move around, and this is what they had in Kevin Austin. Everybody's been high on him all year, and it was big when Notre Dame signed him. He is a 4-star recruit, or highly ranked 4-star recruit. And, he's a guy that can come in and compete right away, especially with the wide receiver depth chart the way it is right now. Brian Kelly also mentioned the wide receivers have a chance to come in and compete.
Especially when you look at the upperclassmen. Your upperclassmen are Equanimeous St. Brown, C.J. Sanders, and then walk-ons or transfers. You got Chris Fink, Freddie Canteen, Cam Smith.
They're eligible to play.
Or, I guess not Cam Smith, but Freddie.
You got Miles Boykin, Chase Claypool.
I guess he would be an upperclassman then, yeah. But so, definitely a good thing that they have someone coming in where they're optimistic that he can contribute, because I think
Stephenson's the one guy that needed. I mean, EQ was number one. I mean, you kind of know what you have. Chase Claypool was starting to break out at the end of the year, had some big games, but was kind of quiet. But nobody was doing what Stephenson was.
No.
And those other guys just didn't step up and play game in and game out. And so if a guy is going to do that, they're going to get playing time.
And some of the freshmen from this year, I think they're still optimistic. I agree. Michael Young and Armstrong.
Micah Jones, second wide receiver that they signed. 6'5", 206, 4-star recruit from Gurnee, Illinois. He is an early enrollee, and he's a big physical guy, and he's more of a boundary player. He's an outside guy. And especially with his size, 6'5", 206,
this is pretty much looks
kind of what the receivers at Notre Dame has now.
But yeah, it looks like EQ.
Yeah.
On paper.
They're still trying to sign Amon-Ra St. Brown, but I don't think that's going to happen. Those are the guys you have on the offensive side of the ball. The exciting thing is the defensive side. There's some very good players on the defensive side of the ball coming in. It starts out with two twins, Jason Adamalola and Justin Adamalola. Jason is your defensive tackle. Brian Kelly said he'd be like 3-technique. He's athletic and has length. And has the athletic ability to hold down the 3-technique spot. And then, with the interior defensive line, we'll just mention Jamie and Franklin right away. Jamie and Franklin is also a defensive tackle, but he's more of that shade player that Brian Kelly mentioned, the nose. He has the ability to lock out and hold the point, but he's still athletic enough to make plays. And he said he's going to, right now, Jamie Franklin's 6'1", 295. And Brian Kelly said he'll be playing at 300+. So he's that big interior guy. So they complement each other. Jason being more of that 3-tech and Jamie being that shade player. So they got a good combination there. And then you have Jason's twin brother, Justin Adamalola. And this is the pass rusher.
And are you pretty confident? I mean, I think Jason
is ranked higher. He's a 4-star, got more publicity. I mean, he was in more of the competition at the opening in just different places in the camps.
But are you as optimistic that Justin can come in and contribute, even if it's to, I mean, Notre Dame has had some contributors at that rush end. I mean, you have.
Well, maybe this will give you some. Mike Elston said today, this is, quote, should be able to give us pass rush help right away.
Oh, wow. Well.
So, I mean, you kind of have to look at the pass rush depth at Notre Dame right now. I mean, you have some guys that are showing potential.
Well, there's not a ton, but there's very good quality production from Dalen Hayes and Julian Okora. Yeah. But
he is the pass rusher in this class. And as far as pass rushers go, Brian Kelly mentioned that this class, they weren't going to take anybody, they weren't going to reach on anybody because next year's class is loaded with defensive ends, passers, a lot of guys that they like, and so they weren't going to reach for any pass rushers in this class because they know they have some good ones, potentially picking up some good ones in the next class.
And just as an entire defensive line, they have 12 that would have 2-plus years of eligibility remaining.
Wow.
So they've got a lot of...
Well, I'm glad they're talking about not reaching because... They did a couple years ago, and those guys just haven't seen the field. Micah Treadway, Brandon Tiasen,
Pete Makwa,
they reached too much that one year, and I think they learned the lesson. But Jason Amalo is 6'3", 290. Justin Amalo is 6'3", 240. And then we also met Jamian Franklin. He's 6'1", 295. And Jamian Franklin, we had him on the podcast a couple weeks ago. But his dad has cancer, and today was sign day, and I think it's the next couple of days. Here shortly, he is actually going to be donating bone marrow for his dad. So his dad had sent out a message, or there was a message out there that, you know, this is his hero. Here's a guy. He's planning to go play college football, but he's also saving his dad's life. So very commendable, impressive thing that he's doing there. Then we go to linebacker. Matthew Bauer, and he actually goes by Bo Bauer. So when you do see Matthew, you might be kind of surprised because he goes by Bo. That's how everybody talks to him. He is from Erie, Pennsylvania. Inside linebacker, 6'2.5", 222 pounds. He is an early enrollee, and his high school, they were back-to-back state champs, and I think they're undefeated in both those years. But he is that inside linebacker, so he's like a Mike linebacker is what they're projecting him at. 4-star guy. And then you have Ovi Ogofu and Shane Simon and Jack Lamb. Some more guys, but Ovi Ogofu, 6'3", 215 pounds from Farmington, Michigan. And he is also an early enrollee, 3-star guy. And he made some big plays in high school this year. Was at the opening finals. So some good linebackers they're getting. I'll skip Jack Lamb, 6'4", 220. He is listed as inside linebacker. Not sure exactly which position he'd be at, but he's also an early enrollee from California. 4-star guy. This was a big pickup for Notre Dame. He plans to play in the Under Armour All-American game. And then those guys would basically be your Buck and your Mike between those two positions, because then you got Shane Simon, and he was recruited as a Rover. I mean, that's his position. He even played it in high school. And 6'3", 215, 4-star guy, U.S. Army All-American. But even though he is that Rover guy with Drew Tranquil coming back, I'm guessing he's going to redshirt this year because Owusu is also in front of him as a Rover, and so he'll be competing against, well, obviously Tranquil is going to be the Rover, but Owusu is the guy he'd be competing against. But that is where you will very likely see him down the road, at the Rover position. The defensive backs, a huge need for Notre Dame. Signed some defensive backs, and they did it. First guy is Joe Wilkins Jr. He's listed as an athlete, but Notre Dame recruited him as a cornerback, 6'2", 180 from Florida. And he's a raw player. He's a guy that's going to need work. He's going to redshirt. But he has a lot of potential, and they see a lot of things they can develop in him, and he has speed as well. So a three-star guy at this point, but they do see a lot of potential in him. Tariq Bracey, another guy that just committed to Notre Dame, and he's also listed as an athlete, but Notre Dame recruited him as cornerback, even though he also played running back in high school and rushed for over 2,000 yards this last year. 6 foot, 170, from California. Everybody was kind of caught off guard. We kind of talked about it with Matt last week on the podcast, but people were kind of caught off guard. And Brian Polian even mentioned that the coaches were caught off guard. Polian was his recruiter, because he's California, is his area. And he talked to them a lot. It was a little hard to get hold of him because of the time difference. He mentioned talking to him at 1:30 in the morning. His wife was wondering, you know, what's going on? Why is he calling the recruits this early in the morning? But the thing that keeps getting mentioned with him, he has a twin brother as well, and he wanted to play with his twin brother, but he didn't have a lot of offers. I think his brother has some offers from, not New Mexico. Anyways, he has some offer from some schools,
but not to top,
but not like to Notre Dame
top caliber.
And they had wanted to play together, and that was what they were going to do. But I guess at some point they decided that Tariq was going to do what was best for him and his future. And Brian Polian mentioned he couldn't say too much about his brother because technically he's still a recruit that hasn't signed with anybody. But he decided to join Notre Dame. When he called and said he was coming, all the coaches were caught off guard. They didn't really expect it to be this early. Maybe he would have been a guy that was signed later. But
Notre Dame is, they need help, but they do have a lot of bodies at cornerback. Do you think that he would ever move over to safety?
I don't think so. The big part of the problem with the cornerback recruiting is like they took how many 2 years ago? Yeah. They didn't take any last year, and now they're taking a couple again. So there'll be kind of a gap. It's hard to kind of fill that gap, but who knows what could happen with the players on the that are currently on the roster. I mean, they could shuffle some guys around.
I mean,
just
you
to
could
get
have
more
Julian
time.
Love move to safety. I mean, that
I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, they did for...
Everybody talks about it, but I don't think that's going to happen. He was an second-team All-American as a cornerback. Why switch him to...
Well, yeah, it depends how good Alohi Gilman is. Because Nick Coleman was... I think he did a good job. I think he'll be there back there again.
Here's just because Josh Adams is a good running back, you're not going to move him to tight end.
Yeah, but if he's a very good tight end and you have running backs that are able to play, they were injured.
I'm
Nadal.
Just saying it might be a little.
I know.
Extreme.
I know
it's
what you're saying.
Close
but if
as
you're
far as position,
if you're but. If you're totally. If you're losing games and giving up scores and yards at one position, then move someone there that can help you. Because you want your defense to be better as a whole, not a unit to be the best.
You want the best 11 guys on the field.
You want the best 11 guys on the field, exactly. You want the defense to be as good as the best it can be, not necessarily having the best linebacking core or the best defensive end group of two. You want the best defensive as a whole.
I will say this. I've been saying that I think Loey Gilman is a good player. Brian Kelly said he would have started, which that's just Brian Kelly talking.
I know. I know you said it, but I still don't believe
it. You can write this down. We'll probably forget it. Julian Love is going to stay at cornerback, and Loey Gilman is going to start at safety.
Well, if Gilman is going to be a starter, then definitely Love will stay at corner.
Yeah.
The only way is if they can't find a safety that can compete.
One more thing with Tariq Bracey, a thing that keeps getting talked about with him. I mean, he's just a three-star recruit, but Brian Kelly mentioned it, and I think Polian mentioned it, and you see it everywhere, is that he didn't get attention from all the recruiting school, other schools, whatever, because of his location. He's kind of out in the middle of nowhere out in California, and they won state title, and people still don't really know who they are or who he is. So he didn't get a lot of attention out there, and so this is kind of an underrated guy in this class.
Bracey.
Who's currently a three-star. Yeah, Tariq Bracey. Next cornerback is the highest ranked player in the class in Houston Griffith. And he did just flip from Florida State to Notre Dame. Notre Dame has been, he's been at Notre Dame countless times. He's from Chicago, but played at IMG this last year. But he will likely play cornerback. Brian Kelly said, you know, he is versatile, could maybe play some other play. He mentioned nickel, and he said he'll be a, he could be a safety at the next level. But Notre Dame wants him as a cornerback.
The next level being the NFL. So, yeah. So Brian Kelly thinks he's that kind of a...
Oh, he thinks all his players are.
It is funny, though. Pullian made the comment that his dad, who's going to be in the Hall of Fame, or is he in the Hall of Fame? Maybe. No. Brian Pullian's dad.
Oh, okay.
Maybe he was in the, I don't know. But either way, he talked about his dad, who, you know, was a general manager and drafted players in the NFL, made the comment that, well, if you can hit about 65%, then that's, you know, that's as good as you can do. And he just made
that's
the kind
of
made
Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's a Hall of Fame number. He just made the same comment about the players. You know, if you can get 50 to 60%, I mean, that's, you know, not all these guys are gonna,
yeah,
be, they're not all gonna
be stars.
Be, they're not all gonna be even like big contributors.
Yeah, yeah,
not even close.
Well, yeah. Well, Houston Griffith is a big time player. 6'1", 192, and he is an early enrollee. He's a guy that I think could get some playing time next year.
See, well, and here's,
as a defensive back,
and here's where you where I see there's a potential that Julian Love would play safety, is if
because of Griffith. What?
Well,
his
Griffith,
is?
Or maybe Dante Vaughn takes a step forward. Troy Pride Jr. was really playing well.
Yeah,
the second half, or maybe second quarter, or last quarter of the year. I do think you're probably right. I think Julian most likely stays that cornerback, and they find someone else to play safety. Anyway,
well. Here's another reason, the safety position, that I don't think he will switch to safety. Derek Allen, and maybe in a lot of my, I mean, he's right up there with Houston Griffith and Dracote. This is a highly ranked guy, 6'2", 211, four-star, and he is a safety. He's going to play safety, and he could be thrown into the mix right away. He'll probably get some playing time next year in the two deeps. Brian Kelly mentioned he was the first guy that they saw that could cover man-to-man, play the ball in the air, and get the ball to the ground. I mean, he based it everything, and this is a guy that they had to add to the class. They said they needed to have a guy like this, and this is who Derek Allen is. And he is an Army All-American, and I do think this is he's the future starter at Notre Dame. He made some impressive plays in high school, and this is one guy that I'm confident is going to be a starter at some point.
And you think he'll definitely be in the two deep as a freshman?
I don't know.
It won't be that tough to be in the two deep. Because you have Gilman, Coleman, probably your starters, and then you have Heath and Robertson.
And you have Elliott, Studstill.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Robertson was supposed to be.
There are more than I thought.
Robertson looked really good in the new goal game. Was it then? Or even in the, he even played in the spring. He played. It was in the spring game because he was an early enrollee, and he looked good then. And we expected him to get more playing time, but I think he has had a little bit of a hard time catching on to the playbook. So he's somebody that could be in there. So. I don't know. It'll be fun to watch because some of these guys, you know. Now we're talking like there's actually depth at safety.
How is this?
But that could be. It's hard to tell where the safety position is going to be in a year from. I mean, by fall camp, it really is with the guys that they have. And you have one more safety.
As young as everyone is, I mean, I don't think we'll know by spring how the two deep is going to look for sure.
No. And you have another safety in this class, Paul Moala. He is from Mishawaka, Indiana.
Does
Penn
he go by
High
Mo?
I don't think so. He was the Indiana defensive back of the year, and Elko said he could play multiple positions, so I'm not sure what that means. Because he's a safety. Played in the state championship game. He got a offer because of how he played or how he performed at Irish Invasion. 6 foot, 200 pounds, three-star guy, but yeah, a lot of people are excited about what he can do. And he kind of came on the scene late, like me. He didn't get all the hype to start with.
He had offers doesn't have from, the big offer from Iowa, from Nebraska, Hawaii.
But he is playing in the Polynesian Bowl. So, anyways, he's another guy that people think is better than his ranking.
I think that he'll probably be a good special teams player, but probably won't make huge contributions
ever in his career
in the defense. I don't know that much about him. Just going off of looking at some of his
your prediction was.
Looking at his 40-yard dash and
yeah, it's so hard to tell. I mean, all these guys are highlighting college football is a different game. I mean, it just is. Some guys have it and some don't. Even with quarterbacks, you know, obviously Wimbush struggled this year kind of with the mental part of it. Dane Chris struggled with it, came in as a five-star guy, struggled. Greg Bryant was a five-star running back, never really did much. It's not all about the recruiting. One thing I like about the staff, I was talking with my brother-in-law, who's a Penn State guy, and he's all excited about the five-star guys that they're signing today, which they signed. I'll show that Sam Mustafer's brother, PJ Mustafer, signed with Penn State today. While we're on that, Colin Gervin, the decommit from Notre Dame that I never thought would end up. He kind of acted interested in Notre Dame again, but I never thought he'd come back. He signed with Michigan State, so we could see him defensive back. Anyways, talking with him, I said, you know, I actually like the staff that Notre Dame has, like Mike Elko, Chip Long, they're kind of from schools where they had two and three-star guys.
Yeah.
Like, a four-star guy was a luxury. It was huge. And they
were used to looking for diamonds in the rough.
Yeah, and they turned them into good players. Brian Kelly did that, too, back at different places that he coached. But I think the staff is good. They don't look at the star rankings.
Do you
have the five-star guys here.
Do you think that we will actually see a difference? They made a commitment when Brian Polian took over recruiting. They were going to make a commitment to finding the right fit.
Yeah.
Do you think that we'll actually see a difference in, well, things like Stefferson being suspended now for the second time? And in overall transfers away and maybe decommitments. Do you think we'll actually see a difference in that?
I think we will, because it kind of changed when Brian Kelly came. Because the one player that they mentioned, was it Zeke Mott or Harrison Smith? I remember, like, hardly ranked. You know, come in and become stars. Notre Dame used to be more that type. Since Brian Kelly's been here, they've gotten guys like Max Redfield, Greg Bryant.
Lewis Nix.
They've gotten players that are right in the edge as far as academics, you know, maybe pushing a little bit, and then they become ineligible. Or, you know, maybe just their characters are kind of in question. I mean, it kind of changed. They pushed the boundaries a little bit more with Brian Kelly's here, and maybe going back to that, they did very well. Before finding those good fits, maybe it was, I don't know.
I don't think the quality of athlete needs to change. And Polian said
that.
But
what I'm saying, the fit makes a huge difference. Yeah, you have all the athletic ability in the world, but that doesn't mean you're going to shine at Notre Dame.
Yeah,
it's hard to do that because it takes. If you just want to play, if those guys want to play football, they can go to Alabama where they don't take any classes.
Who came in with Stephon Tuitt? And they went to South Florida.
Oh, Aaron Lynch.
Yeah, I mean, phenomenal athlete. Played one year.
Sure. Yeah,
had a great year, and then he just couldn't make it work.
Some of those guys just need to go to Alabama where they don't need to take classes.
Hopefully, I do. I hope you're right that we'll see a difference. But I also, at first when I heard that, I thought that they're just going to try to find choir boys that are also interested in playing football, but their main mission in life is to become an architect. But I don't think that's going to be the... There's another point. And Polian even mentioned that, too, that they are that there's enough good athletes that they can find the ones that are a good fit for Notre Dame and are great football players, yeah, too.
Oh, I agree. And I think it helps with this early signing period because now they can really make an effort to focus on the guys that are still remaining. And a lot of the guys that are remaining are highly ranked guys. And they can focus on them versus trying to keep all these guys in the class, see where they're at. And obviously Brian Kelly was more in touch. I think he knew more about what was going on with the player, where they were actually at, and whether they were on the fence or not with Notre Dame. This proves that they weren't and that these guys are bought into Notre Dame. And I think they put together a really good class. So, yeah.
Do you think they should have taken another kicker?
Not in this class.
What about punter?
Hey, not every punter is a scholarship player.
All right. Well, if our long snapper is, I think our punter should be too.
They did get a preferred walk-on long snapper, Michael Vinson. There's a couple preferred walk-ons that signed as well. But I don't have that whole list.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. We will be doing our Notre Dame LSU preview, and that will be coming out after Christmas. So we won't get to talk with you guys before then. So have a Merry Christmas, and we'll talk with you. I think we'll be releasing that episode. Oops, my calendar went screwy. Probably next Wednesday, probably around the 27th, is when you'll be getting the LSU Notre Dame preview. So, Randall, anything more from you before we wrap this up?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. It's been a fun season. Ended a little bit on a downer, but overall, it's been a fun season. It's been a good season. And just wish you guys a Merry Christmas, and we'll talk with you before you have a Happy New Year. But anyway, until then, go Irish.
Go Irish.